Because I'm so excited for this episode. I'm excited for this episode. One, excuse to hang out with Chris. For those of you, no one's here yet, so I don't want to brag on Chris yet. I want people to hear about it. But it's always a good time to hang with Chris. But also, two, I'm really excited for this talk because I know Chris's story about what we're going to dive into today is very applicable, I think, to a lot of people right now in this market. And so, you know, I think a lot of times people look at senior devs, especially as juniors, and they're like, they got it made. They don't have any issues. They're good, right? And you know, I think Chris's story is just going to show, you know, that, listen, like, everybody has been affected by this economy, whether you're junior or senior, and it is rough no matter what seniority you are. So we're going to talk about today. There are people tuning in, so I do want to brag on Chris. So Chris is really, I would say Chris and Kyle Welch, but Chris, really Chris, is like the guy to really introduce me. I would say tech Twitter is like a bad way to say it, but like introducing me to basically like that developers are cool and not really weird, and like you can like do conferences and like all this stuff. So like that's Chris. Like the reason why I do what I do now is because of Chris. So Chris, you're the man. Very influential in my career, so thank you, my friend. So excited to hang out with Chris today. Few housekeeping things. First and foremost, say hey, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the reason why I say this is a networking platform. We all don't have our Apple Vision Pro goggles on yet, but so I don't know if you're watching, right? So you got to comment. I've had people on the show, you know, find jobs, find mentor mentees on the show. So please comment, say hey. I also love to know like where people are tuning in from, to be totally honest with you, because like, it's really cool. We had like South Africa and Spain yesterday or the day before. So I love to hear it. So even if you're just on the south side of Nashville, that's very far away from me. So please comment. I'd love to hear from you. Second off, ask Chris questions. This is the time to really pick Chris's brain. Chris is a wealth of knowledge. He has a lot of experience. And this last search force we're going to get into, we're going to talk about it. And finally, I want to go over my partners for the show, That Conference. Thank you so much for sponsoring. Also, Render, again, thank you so much for sponsoring as well. Check out both those conferences. Also, too, I want to give a shout out. I am the Render lead here in Nashville. We're going to do a open space coffee hang. That's it. It's just a meetup. Come and co-work with me and some other devs at a big coffee shop south of Nashville. It'll be a lot of fun. Want to get to a few folks. Brady, it's good to see you. Taya, Todd, our guy, Mr. Lobster himself. What's up, buddy? Janet, it's good to see you. Chris, Becky, Michael, Janet, Danny. It's wonderful to see you as well. Cool. Chris, today's a special day. Hey. What is today?
It is today. A special day. I just want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat, too. I can't post any comments. So holler at everybody in the chat. Today is a special day. And it's a special day for me. I know it's a special day for you.
For this country.
It's a special day for this country.
It's basically Independence Day.
It is Independence Day for a connoisseur of this type. Tay, do you know what it is? I told you what it is, but I'm gonna.
You told me what it is, but I want you to do the honors of what today is.
Today, everybody, is National Pizza Day.
There you go, Pizza Day.
Make sure you get that pizza. I don't care where you get it from. Everybody.
Support local pizza. Chris, I always ask you every time you're on the show, where's your go? Okay, give me one staple. If I'm coming to Detroit, give me the staple I have to go to, and maybe give me like a new spot.
Ooh, let's see. Well, it's a toss-up because the same family that created the first spot also created the second spot. Hmm. So it would have to be a toss-up between Buddy's and Cloverleaf. Both of those are the original. Buddy's is the original Detroit style.
Okay.
And then Cloverleaf was created from the same people that made Buddy's way back in the day. Okay. So that would be like number one. Both of those are number one. So Buddy's or Cloverleaf, same shit. Second, awesome. if you want Detroit style za, I would say Michigan and Trumbull is a good spot for Detroit style za. Yes, sir. Awesome.
Fantastic. Sweet. A few comments here. Michael, it's good to see you, buddy. So glad to see my man succeed. I know it was a process, but glad you found your spot. Absolutely. I think Chris had the whole fucking rooting for him.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. Todd goes, so New York style pizza is the best. Gotcha.
Can you boot Todd out of this?
Todd's choosing violence on this Friday. All right.
This guy, Todd, he puts coffee milk in his coffee. All right. Come on, coffee milk.
I saw coffee milk on TikTok the other day, by the way. I was like, what? That's a thing. Chris, let's give a quick background about you, man. Who are you? Just at a super high level, and then let's obviously dive into why people are here.
Yes, sir. Chris DeMars, born and raised in Michigan. Senior developer advocate, currently at DigitalOcean, been a front-end developer for 27 years, and a DA in some capacity for 10 of those years. That's what I do. That's what I am. I also believe in UFOs, Bigfoot, and ghosts. So let's rock and roll.
Yeah. Chris and I will never be able to hang out because I'm terrified of everything, and Chris loves everything scary. all right. Michael brings a very hard-hitting question this morning.
What's your pizza?
All right. So here's mine. Okay, tell me. Hot honey, pepperoni, jalapeno, onion, and banana pepper.
See, I can't do all that spicy shit. Pepperoni, mushroom. That's it.
Okay. I like that. That works too. All right. So, Chris, I would say the last 6 months has been absolutely brutal for you. Yes. Can you talk about just at a high level of really the last little bit of your career and then we can obviously start diving into some specifics.
Yeah, no. So like after my first layoff last year, I was laid off for 3 months and you and I streamed during that process. And that was super gnarly because I've never been in a situation like that. You know what I mean? I've always had a job in tech, never have been like stagnant. And that was like a trip for me, big trip. And, I don't blame the company that did it. That company's great. I definitely go back and work for that company. But I was laid off for 3 months and then ended up at another company. Unfortunately, that didn't work out because we can get into why later. Sure. But that just didn't work out. And since that was November, and I just recently got picked up by DigitalOcean. Yeah. And I start next week. I'm super stoked for that. But man, like it was getting bad. Like for one, I didn't get severance from the company that just laid me off last year, the last one, which is fine and dandy. I might have not met the requirements, whatever. I don't care. But like money got super tight, dude. And like it was to the point of becoming homeless. Like if something wouldn't have broke, like I was done. I was giving up on everything. I was like, this is a joke. This industry is a joke. Hiring is a joke. Everything's just broken. But I mean, I kept hustling, kept trying, and one thing led to another, and here we are.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, like I said, I mean, you texted me or DM'd me or something about it, and obviously, like, I was like, fuck yeah. My wife was like, what? I was like, don't worry about it. But like, for me, you were very public about interviewing and failing and winning and moving on, and so. For me, I wanted, there's so many ways to tackle this, but let's go over, just observations. Let's start with the observations, good, bad, and ugly of the job search.
Ooh, well, seeing as that I got laid off at the end of last year and, people are taking time off, you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, hiring goes down, budgets are going down. Like it was extremely hard. I applied to over 100 jobs again within the 2 and a 2.5 month time frame. I applied to 100 jobs, and that included front end jobs. It just felt like nobody was hiring DAs. For anybody that's tuning in, DA is developer advocate. I was talking to some people who would run like DevRel as a service programs, and I'm actually on an advisory board for one of those programs or companies. And they were saying, I've talked to so many DAs for one of these companies that's looking for somebody, and they are looking for someone that checks every single box. And I can't believe that, I can't find anybody out there. There might be two people in the entire world that check these boxes. So, hiring, it just seemed like people are looking for unicorns, like super high level unicorns out there. And that shit just doesn't exist. You know what I mean? You got to be able to give and take here. And it was extremely difficult. But then as the new year kicked off, you started seeing a lot more job openings opening up, right? I was watching one of your vlogs the other day, and you were talking about, you personally are seeing more recruiters getting hired. Well, what does that mean? When more recruiters get hired, that means more jobs are opening up, right? Because they need people to bring those devs and those DAs in.
Yeah.
But you saw that towards the end of the year where these jobs were opening up. Like there was a lot more DA roles opening up at the end of the year, opposed to when I got laid off in the summer from the other company. And I was having interviews every single week, but just nothing broke. But then like everybody is opening up these hiring positions, but nobody was hiring for them because it was getting to the end of the year. Right. So like that shit sucked. And then the beginning of the year, you see all these companies hiring even more. But then with 3 weeks into the new year, everybody's getting laid off again. It's like, wait a minute. I thought everybody got budgets and got approvals for things like this at the beginning of the year, right? Q1 or however your fiscal year works.
Right.
And then I'm seeing my friends getting laid off and we just started the new year. What kind of shit is that?
I know.
So, I mean, it's extremely broken and there are companies that are doing it properly and doing it well. And because I've interviewed with them. And I have friends going through the process. But man, I'm telling you, like some, when it comes to developer relations in general, there are companies out there that just don't understand. And they might not ever understand what developer advocacy is, what DevRel is. They see one company has the shiny and new, and they want it. And 6 months later, they realize, oh, we didn't actually need this. We have no value. Boom. Yeah. Bottom line, cut. And that's just, it's fucked up.
Yeah, no, 100%. Want to give a shout out to Dan. Dan tweeted something the other yesterday. He had 1 million views on his YouTube.
That.
That's huge. That's fucking huge.
That.
So Dan, thanks for tuning in, man, and congratulations to you, man. You're killing it. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, we could do an entire show just around the interviewing, but I want to talk about kind of your search. I think I'm always fascinated with people's day to day and blocking and tackling and how they interviewed and how they set up their day. How did you do it? Do you feel like you have a secret sauce at all? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Just how do you structure your day?
Oh, as far as like what? Like dive into that
interviewing, like did you try to only interview on certain days? How did you break up? Like, did you just sit in your room all day and cold apply? Like what did that look like?
Oh, dude, I was applying 10, 15 jobs every day. Yeah. There's a couple Slack channels that I'm in, DevRel channels, and then there's like a recruiting channel or whatever, jobs channel, and then there's like automated jobs that get posted every single day. So I'd go through and see which ones I wanted, and then open up the links and applied. And if it was through like LinkedIn, I would try maybe not to apply through LinkedIn and go directly to their website and apply, or do an easy apply if there was an option. But I was just shotgun applying to everything and anything I could, even if I didn't have the experience. I was just shotgun applying. Because I can write and talk about anything. You know what I mean? That's just the way I am. I'm so involved in so many different communities in tech that I can talk and write about whatever it is. But like, as far as interviews go, I was scheduling them every day. Like I would try and schedule in the day of.
Yeah. Really? We're talking now.
Like if I got a call from a senior recruiter, like what's your availability? I'm like now, like put me to the hiring manager right now. I'm open all day long, or I can fit you in. I was doing 2-3 interviews at a time. I was doing interviews at 5:30 in the morning because the company is like overseas. Like it was, the grind and the struggle was legit and real. And when you don't have a job, like I'm from Michigan, you know, half of my childhood, I grew up in the city of Detroit. You know, we have a bad reputation in Michigan. We have a bad reputation. Detroit has a bad reputation. It is what it is, but you have to have a grind mindset. You know what I mean? You have to have Detroit. Yeah. There's a reason there's the saying in the clothing line, Detroit hustles harder. You know what I mean? We have to prove a point and to make shit happen. Nobody's going to do it for you. You're going to make it happen on your own, but I had to grind and hustle. I had to, because when you don't have a job, your job is finding a job. You know, I see a lot of cats out there, you know, they get laid off from a company, and I'm not saying any names or anything like that, but a lot of cats I see like, oh yeah, I'm going to take some time off and just, you know, relax. Who has time to do that? It might be a different situation, but like for me, I didn't have time to do that because I didn't get severance. Yeah. Only money I had was what was in the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like I had to hustle and find a job quickly.
Well, and like, I hate to say this, this isn't going to make people feel good, but like, I don't think anybody's more networked into the tech community than Chris is.
Appreciate you, bro.
And if Chris is having problems, I mean, it's rough. And again, I don't want to discourage anybody because it's all timing too. Let me ask you this, Chris. I mean, how did you keep up with all this, right? Like so much, did you have an Excel doc? Did you have, I don't know, Trello board? What did you use?
I'll show you right now. I use Notion.
And I use Notion. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. I had Notion set up. I've had this for a little while now, and literally jobs. if it scrolls, jobs that I've applied to. And it's blurred out because I got my screen blurred.
Yeah,
that's just all jobs. And I was tracking them. Yep, I was tracking them based on the company. I had like a drop down of like applied prelim interview, first interview, second interview, third interview, take home, volunteer, turn down, decline, accepted, all that stuff. And the date I applied.
Put yourself like an own ATS.
I had to keep track of stuff, dude, because I was just applying to so many roles. And I did that last time. I did that the year before when I was applying for roles, even though when I had a job and it was applying to go somewhere else, I did that. Then the first layoff, I did that. The second layoff, I did that. So yeah, like I just had to just keep tracking it just so I could keep track of what was going on.
Talk about, we've got a few questions here. You know, obviously a lot of comments. You know, Alex is a recruiter. I met him last night at a meetup. Just had a conversation about this yesterday. It's bad enough that the layoffs are happening so frequently, but the way orgs are doing is so bad. Yeah, I know. It's just, I mean, here's the deal. Like, I got to sneeze too. It's one of those.
Bless you.
Yeah. Whew. Not quite there yet. Getting there though. Here's the problem. I have been in management at the last company where I knew layoffs were coming and I could not tell anybody.
Oof. That's rough.
I have an issue with it, but I also understand the other side. So I just think, man, I don't think there's a silver bullet, but I just think transparency is key. I mean, I just think as much transparency as possible. Thomas comes in here. I guess I'm realizing this, but there's a shift happening in tech space. It's taking longer than we would like for it to equalize. Yeah. I mean, 100%.
Yep.
Let's see here. I had a few more. Dominic comes in. I have a friend that's demoralized by his jobs hunt. He has come to the conclusion it's all him. It's not all him.
No.
Like, I would say it's 99% not him. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts?
100%. Yeah. No. And I mean, I felt the same way. I'm like, how can a front-end developer with 27 years and 10 years of developer advocacy experience where I've been an IC on a team and have built and launched a DevRel program from the ground up where I did all the admin work and I did all the DA work. I did all of these things. I have a track record of community work. I have recognitions in the community for the work I've done. Yet I can't get hired. If it's not them, it's me. Right? There's something wrong with me, apparently. Mm-hmm. And that has to go like with friends of ours right now that are still unemployed. It's like these people have amazing track records in the developer relations space and the tech space in general, and they can't get hired. Mm-hmm. How is that possible? How? That is impossible for that to be happening, but it is, and it's a problem.
Yep. Agree. Janet has an interesting question. Did you take any more time to do self-education or just completely job hunting? I feel like as a junior, I have to split my time with learning too.
Yeah, no. So no education. Like there's nothing I need to do in developer relations to educate me further. Right. Yeah. Except read some books, read some great articles, you know, by Tessa and Kim Maeda and just anybody that's out there writing stuff specifically on DevRel, I read it. Right. I consume that information. But as far as like self-education, I mean, if I'm working on projects here and there, but like I have a life, you know what I mean? Like back in the day, it would have been a different story. I would have all my free time. I would have been writing code. I would used to stay up till 2-3 in the morning writing code and working on projects.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 38 next month. Like I have a life. I travel around the country. I play paintball. I bass fish at a tournament level. With the other shit that I'm into, I go to, you know, paranormal conventions. Like I'm not trying to spend all my time writing code. You know, when I'm looking at the computer, I don't want to keep looking at the computer all day long. Now if you're in a junior role, it's a different story. Like I'm all about hustling and doing that, but like I'm also a big proponent of work-life balance. But, I mean, your mileage might vary.
So let's talk about this too, and I think this can piggyback on Jan's question. How did you stay sane during this, man?
I didn't. Well, I mean, if I'm going to be completely transparent, drinking.
Okay.
Drinking. But I've been sober now for 2 months.
Okay.
So.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's very, very tough. And I think it's important, Janet, going back to your question, I think, you know, when I was on the job search in June, July, you know, you can kind of do one of these things where you feel like you got to do it all, but sometimes less is more in the job search because you got to stay fresh. If you're burning it on all ends, even before you get on the call for an interview, you're gonna have nothing left to give. And interview, and you got to be more locked in than anything else. That's why, Chris, I'm shocked that you did like three interviews in a day, because I did that a few times and it wore me the fuck out. So,
Like I said, dude, I was waking up 5:30, 6:30 in the morning to do presentations. I was doing presentations, doing interviews. It's funny. I don't know if I think I did tell you this. I told a bunch of people this. I did a presentation. It was 6:30 in the morning. I did a presentation for a company. I had to put a lightning talk together, and I killed it. I killed it. They said they loved it. Blah 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 blah. I got an email a week later saying that my slides were too stylish, and that's why they passed on me. I bullshit you not. I'm not going to name any name. I'm not saying anything, but yeah. My slides were too stylish.
Yeah. And listen, really? I mean, I'm seeing on my end, companies are, we're in this weird limbo right now. It's like wading through quicksand. It's incredibly frustrating. Todd in here, how many recruiters didn't have a clue about the position? I literally talked to a guy last night, Alan Hendricks. He was interviewing for Figma, and he went all the way through a 6-round technical round, 6 hours. Only to be told that the role was going on hold because of the transaction not going through with Adobe.
Wow.
So, yep.
That's a joke.
And then this guy's a stud too. This guy's a JavaScript staff engineering leader architect. I mean, he's incredible. So, Sarah Brady comes in here. Glad you land a position, Chris. Hope works out for you. My brother's a huge bass fisher. I'm gonna put you in touch with some hogs here. I love that.
Let's get it. Hey man, let's do it. I'm ready. Yeah.
So any practical tips or tricks that you would give to people, from your job search?
Oh, definitely create something in a spreadsheet or Notion. Like, keep track of who you're applying to, what the role you're applying to, even if it's different. Like in my Notion, like I'll have multiple roles, and like you might just put like DA, right? Developer advocate. Well, there might be developer advocate. There might be senior developer advocate. There might be developer experience engineer. There might be developer relations engineer, community manager. Like, have like a list so you know what you're getting into, because you don't want to look like a moron going to interview for the role and you forgot what you interviewed for.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge one. Definitely doing some research on the company. That's a big one. Trying to get put in touch with people that work at the company, or if you know people that have worked at the company. Yeah. That's a good one, because they might know somebody that they can talk to. But I mean, the big thing too, like you got to remember, it takes time in this community to build trust with the community. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't get to where I am day one. You know, if Chris DeMars would have came on the scene and said, "Hey, you need to hire me," people would be looking like, "Who the fuck are you?"
Right.
You know what I mean? But I have established myself in the reputation that I have, where people will trust me, and people will trust, you know, going to the DevRel position, people will trust the company that I'm working for. But like, you got to be able to have that trust with people. So I think really networking, getting in there as much as you can, talking to people is a good thing. And then just crafting your resume. You know, like I have a background as a writer. So like, I have a really nice resume, and I know you reviewed my resume and you've given it top marks. You know, I've always just crafted it a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. But having a really nice resume, not too over the top, but being able to, you know, communicate what you do right off the rip with your resume is good. That's like, huge. Don't put a bunch of fluff in there, this, that, and the other thing. Like, that shit's old. That's old hat. Get to the point. So.
Well, I think this goes on with Anton's question. Congrats on getting the new role. How can you stand out in this current market, especially when you have to compete with folks who have more experience? I mean, I think you kind of answered that. I feel like being able to rattle that stuff off very quickly and directly, I think is huge.
Yes. Yeah. Don't beat around the bush. Like, be very, upfront and blunt when you're having these conversations. Like, that's what I was doing in all my interviews. Like, I wasn't beating around the bush with shit. Like, I was to the point and saying like, this is how this is done. This is what I do. And this is how you are going to benefit. Let them know that shit right off the top, because that's what's going to set you apart from everybody else. And if you have a brand, like, that even helps you even more. Like, I have a specific brand. Everybody knows me for the tall, tattooed, bearded, you know, flat brim, doesn't wear tech shirts with half calf socks and Vans. Like, that's how people know me through the community. And that's what they expect from me. And they come to my talks to see me in my brand. I had somebody, and Todd was sitting right next to me. This happened at a conference last year he and I were at, and they came up to me, and it was like during lunch or something. They came up and they said, Chris, they said, I don't care what you talk about. I just want to hear you talk. Like, that was a huge compliment for me.
I do have to say, I'm going to give Chris credit. I learned about playing music before I talked from Chris. So I do that now because of Chris, because it's awkward as fuck just sitting in.
A lot of people do. A lot of people do really that awkward. Because of me.
And I would say, I've lately seen some good speakers, but Chris is like one of the first guys that I saw speak. And I was like, ah, this guy's not normal. Like, this is good. Like, so again, props to you. But I mean, your brand, I mean, you got a brand. Like when people talk about Chris DeMars to me, I'm like, oh yeah, Chris, tattooed, flat bill brim, Vans, Detroit style pizza, scary shit. Like, that's it, right? So, you know, but people know what they're getting with you, and I think that's incredibly important. I also want to go to, you know, Thomas brings up, and Thomas, you know, did you work any freelance jobs, side hustles, part-time jobs, things outside of tech to get you by?
I didn't want to, so I didn't.
Yeah, so you were just you went all in. Just yeah. Okay.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I've written for some companies, just because, you know, they wanted me to write for them, so that was cool. But I mean, I have a couple different. Well, I have a side hustle, but I put it on the back burner. But as far as like tech shit getting out there, like I'm sorry, but I'm not going to McDonald's to work. If I'm not doing this, what I love with a passion, then I'm not going to do shit. I'm not going to do anything. That's how hard headed and frustrating and bitter it got. And I'm not knocking anybody that works at McDonald's or anything like that. Like, do what you got to do to get by, get that money. You know what I mean? But
that's what you want to do. And listen, I've had times in my life where I could have gone to plan B and I only want to do plan A. And I was just going to grind it. So
I knew it. And I knew something was going to break. I just had to know
so
something was going to break.
Let me ask you. So I was talking to my guy last night who got rejected by Figma. And I was talking to a few other people at our meetup last night. For those of you who are in Nashville, you missed a hell of a meetup. We had about 35 people out there. It was great. It does seem like there are positions hiring right now. But it just seems like a mess.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Yes, 100%. Okay. 100%. Like I said, but the companies that know how to do it, you know what I'm saying? Like DO, I am extremely excited to be working for DigitalOcean. I am. DigitalOcean is a company I've wanted to work for since way back in the day, way, way back in the day before they even ever had a DevRel.
What do they do again?
So they like Droplets, Kubernetes, tons of stuff like that. They own CSS Trix. Yeah, so like it's been one of those companies I've always just wanted to work for ever since Una Kravitz worked for it. And this is, if you know who Una is, back in the day, Una used to work for DO, and I'm pretty sure she worked for DO. Yeah, and it was just a company I've always wanted to work for. And then having friends that have worked there in the past, and it's like, oh, DO would be an awesome company to work for. So I am extremely stoked to be working on the DevRel team for DigitalOcean. But they also know how to do it right when it comes to hiring. They know the people to talk to, how to get through the process quickly, and not beat around the bush, right? And the same when I was the last company, not the last one, but the one I got hired in 2 years ago. Like boom, 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 interview after interview after interview. They knew exactly what they wanted, and they just capitalized
when
on
it. When it clicks, exactly. It's so refreshing, because that's the same way it was with Gun. It was like bang, 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 bang. So real quick, before we wrap up with my rapid fire questions, time flies when you're having fun with friends. Talk about timing, right? We mentioned that backstage, how you interview with DigitalOcean, because I want to give people hope that it really is all about timing. So talk about that real quick, about how it kind of came full circle.
Timing is, it's gnarly. You might, the thing with DO, and it's a great story, but before, so I was interviewing with Split Software, who I was with last year, after the first layoff. Split's a great company, feature flag and experimentation company. I love it. But I was interviewing with them and DO at the same time, and literally in the same time frame, but Split moved quick. Within a week, I was interviewed, and within 2 weeks, I had a job. DO finally got back to me for the second interview already after I accepted my offer with Split. So it took DO two weeks, I think close to 2 weeks, to get back to me in the time frame that Split interviewed me and I had an offer signed. So I took my job at Split. Fast forward to 2023. I get hit up on LinkedIn by somebody that's running the program at DO. I was like, yes, let's talk about this. Had an interview with the hiring manager right off the rip. Moved right on to the recruiter, who was my recruiter from the last time. And he remembered me. He knew he thought I was great. It was work out. And he knew that the reason I passed on DO was because they didn't move fast enough. And he said, all right, we're gonna move fast with this. So moved quick enough, had a couple more interviews. And then, I mean, it took about a month from the time I talked to the first person to job offer.
Okay.
That could be it. That's still good, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, like with Split, like it was within a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's impressive.
So, I mean, it really is all about timing and, yeah. You know, not just timing. Right. Not burning bridges, but not timing just in like the literal sense of timing as far as like the date you apply. And then the second you hear some like a callback, it really boils down to what's happening, right? What holidays are going on, how the fiscal year is looking, if there's any really, really big events that company is taking part in, right? All of that stuff is going to push back or move forward that time.
Yep. Yep.
For me last year, I got laid off in November. Well, I had Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. Yep. So like, yeah, people have posted all these jobs, but they weren't going to start hiring till the new year.
I know.
Yeah. So I was just sitting in limbo the whole time.
Yeah.
And then once, you know, that first of the year picked up, then you start seeing budgets go up and companies getting approvals for things. And so it really, really, it's timing, yes, on when you apply and get that first call, but it's also timing on the organization and what they have going on in their calendar.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, again, y'all, thank you for hanging out with us. Chris, rapid fire, 4 questions real quick. What outside work brings you joy?
Oh, what outside work brings me joy? Outside work, like shoveling snow and mowing lawns.
Yeah, just I just meant outside of work. Sorry, like your favorite.
Oh, okay. Paintball and bass fishing. And bass fishing. I'll be in Vegas next month for a paintball tournament. More months. Tournaments kick off here in Michigan for bass tournaments. So, yep,
that's awesome. What if money was the same and money wasn't a issue, what would you do outside of tech?
Oh, what would I do outside of tech? I always wanted to be a paleontologist.
What is that? Is that dinosaurs?
Yeah. I love dinosaurs.
I can see you be just like the rogue paleontologist that everybody loves. Third question, what tools, frameworks, tech trends, libraries are you tinkering with that you're loving or interested in right now?
So I'm currently building a mobile app in Ionic. Shout out to Ionic, Mike Hardington, Cecilia, Jess Sachs, the whole team over there. Building an app with Ionic, the React flavor of Ionic, and Strappy, which is a headless CMS. Now, I've used Ionic in small pieces here and there, never used Strappy. So I'm doing that right now. I'm building a mobile app for it's Michigan, but a convention here in Michigan, and the owners of the convention don't know I'm doing it. I'm doing it for fun. So I'm going to present it to them once it's done. Awesome. But yeah, it's super stoked. Cool. Learning tons of new shit about Ionic, learning shit about Strappy, learning about Android and iOS platforms. And yeah, it's been fun.
That's cool. Last question. Biggest piece of career advice you would give young Chris?
Get started earlier. Like, don't just look for that quick money, especially if you have a passion and you want to do something. You know, when I was younger, when I got started web development a long time ago, many, 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 many moons ago, I didn't even have an allowance. I didn't have a job. I wasn't even in high school. I didn't think you could get a job in web development. I thought you had to have a college degree and you had to go to a Fortune 500. So I got out of high school, went into college, dropped out of college, but I still didn't think you could get a job without a degree. So I needed to find that fast money. And I spent a long, long time job to job to job trying to find that fast money. Don't do that. Like if you do have a passion for something and you want to stick with it, stick with it. Like don't hop around because time is short and time does not stop for anybody. You know what I mean? And the longer you wait, the harder it is. So stick with it if you're passionate.
I love it. Well, Chris, thank you, my friend. Again, congratulations on the job, buddy. I'm pumped to see you at the next conference. For everybody tuned in today, thank you so much. It means a lot. Go connect with Chris on Twitter and go connect with DigitalOcean. And again, shout out DigitalOcean for finding a good one. And we'll be back next week. You all have a good weekend.
Let's get it. Peace.
Hey, you did it. You listened to an entire episode, and I am very grateful because you know why? There's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of episodes, and I myself rarely finish an entire episode. So I appreciate you so much for listening. Quick reminder, please rate and review this podcast in the App Store.
I want this to be discoverable to others. And the only way that happens is if you take the time right now and rate and review it. Please, like right now. Unless you're driving, then don't do it. So thank you again. If you need to reach out to me at T. Destin on all social media handles, and I hope you have a fantastic day.